Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You've got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up with tons more content weekly, mm-hmm. access to our Discord community, and a spinoff series called Search History where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. I just have to say real quick, we're experimenting with making, if you're like not sure about what the vibe is on mm-hmm. Patreon, even though we've released some for you.
Yeah.
If you're like, I don't even know, I don't want to commit, but yeah. I want to see what Millie has to say about Azalea Banks, for example. We're making certain episodes available for download if you purchase them.
Yeah.
So
for a nominal fee,
yeah.
you could download individual episodes. I think that's like Patreon just started allowing that.
Yeah,
so we're experimenting. There's always something new.
Always
for
something
you
new
to
there.
Access on the Patreon. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love reviews. We need more of them. The best review is for you to tell your friends about the podcast. Tag us in a little story. You know we'll repost it. We're always online.
That's kind of the premise of
That's
the show.
That's kind of the whole point of the show.
Yes.
So we will see it.
But today, speaking of people we will see.
people we are seeing.
People are in the room with us. People who are probably very online. Today we have a special guest with us. She is a hilarious content creator, writer, and comedian visiting us all the way from sunny Los Angeles.
She's on a trip.
It's Meredith Lynch.
Woo! Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited. You picked a great time to visit New York.
Best weather.
The fall weather has been popping. It's been a little hot like the past 2 days.
But yeah, I would say it's like it's pre-fall. It's not
pre-fall.
Real fall yet,
yeah.
but
yes.
that's I like that weather.
Me too. I was like walking today and I was like, oh, I can just start to feel it just a tiny bit.
A
can you
bit.
Feel
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
In the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, and you missed like, I heard it's been kind of a heat wave in LA.
Oh my God, LA is so miserable.
Yeah.
It's like
hot,
100
hot.
Degrees, even in the places where it's, you know, not meant
not
to
supposed
be.
To be. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And like, people don't use the AC like they should be in LA, I feel
I do.
Like. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, well.
I have a bad AC habit.
Well, I mean, that's
but
the
when it's
American.
100 degrees, it's like,
yeah.
come on. You want
yeah.
me to really, you think I'm going to open a window?
No.
We're beyond opening
no,
a window
America,
at 100 degrees.
Okay?
This is United States of America.
We like ice. We like AC.
Yes. We want to be cold.
We want to be cold.
Mm-hmm. And I won't apologize for it.
No.
Meredith, question for you before we dive into the pod.
Yes.
Your TikTok bio lists you as private equity's public enemy. Obviously, we support that just
yeah.
on the bare minimum.
Yeah.
But can you tell us, how did you earn this illustrious title?
Well, that's a title that was given to me
wow.
by me.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Okay.
but, you know, I have had kind of an interesting journey on TikTok. I mean, interesting to me.
Yeah.
But
it is interesting. We are asking you a question
yeah.
about it. So
I will
it is
say the question I prepped for Millie to ask is about your journey on TikTok. So we're getting right into it. We are
yeah,
interested.
We are very interested in it. Yeah.
You know, I started as a makeup content creator.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow. Perfect.
Wow.
Incredible
Michelle
for what we're talking about
here.
Today.
And then I realized, like, I really don't know makeup. Like, oh. It's not, like, I would go, it was peak COVID. Mm-hmm. I had just moved from Boston to LA.
Wow. Yes. Big move. Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. I moved to LA in the height of the pandemic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It was a choice.
When I got there, they were like, yeah, we've changed the, like, air quality mm-hmm. because we are having to cremate so many bodies.
Wow.
I was like, awesome. Okay, is where I live now. But at the same time, I'm really glad I did it. It was a big change. I was mm-hmm. really good in the long run. And my husband and I moved out there together. Mm-hmm. And anyway, yeah, so I knew no one. I literally, and I was like working remotely, so I made a TikTok video about a foundation, an e.l.f. foundation. Mm-hmm. It went viral. And I was like, oh, people are talking to me. And so I just kept sort of like making these videos. And then I realized, like, what do I really know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is pop culture, celebrity gossip. I mean, I was a kid who, like, I would, like, sneak reading The Inquirer when I was little. Which also means The Inquirer was in my house, which was a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's going on?
Right. So I started doing that. And then I kind of got more into, I don't know, just like capitalism. Mm-hmm. And I think it really kicked off because I just kept seeing so many celebrity brands.
Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, I have so many thoughts on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I, one day, this was like a faded day, I saw that Kim Kardashian was starting a private equity firm.
Wow, I did not realize that she had gone all the way to just starting a private equity firm.
I mean, makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense.
Terrible.
I didn't realize she had gone there.
Yeah, so I saw that and I Googled, is private equity bad? Because I just had a hunch.
Yeah.
As chronically online people, do you feel like you get the hunch?
Oh, yeah.
There's something fishy. I mean, that's this podcast is like, something will pop up and I'm like, somebody right
here.
Yeah,
I'm like, let's dig deeper. I'm like, okay, there seems to be a negative connotation. We recently did an episode on our Patreon about Be Better.
I loved your video about him.
I know that you talked about him. Guys, listen to the Patreon if you want to know. Whatever.
The downfall of Be Better.
The downfall of Be Better. But there was a part of it where people started talking about drop shippers, and I didn't know what that was, but I was like, the way they're talking about this, I can tell it has a negative connotation. And so I had to go down the rabbit hole, and people are angry about drop shippers.
Drop shipping is like, we haven't done the deep research for drop shipping, but I already know off rip. Not good.
Yeah, people. So that's kind of where it'll happen. And for anyone who wants to know, drop shipping is where, like, you have a store, but you don't actually have the merchandise and you only make the merchandise once someone makes an order. So it's not really your step. There's a lot of discourse around it.
Yeah,
you're not
making it. You're like ordering it from a factory in China
and then shipping it yourself. There's a lot of discourse. Slap a label on.
Yeah.
Anyway, hear more about this on the Patreon, guys. Yeah, but the bottom line is, yes, you'll get the hunch and you'll be like, ooh, what does this mean? Why is this word being used like this?
Yeah, what is, so what did the Google result?
Well, I Googled it and basically, you got to go to page two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on page two, it started to be like, this is how private equity disproportionately impacts, like, low-income families. And I was like, oh, here we go.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. So I just started looking more and more into it. And, you know, am I a private equity expert? No, I'm like completely self-taught, mm-hmm. but I've been inviting people on my podcast to have conversations about private equity. I think it's a really important thing that we learn about. It's becoming more and more prevalent. This morning, I saw that a very prominent makeup brand mm-hmm. has sold to private equity. And so it's constantly happening. And it's to me, at the end of the day, it's about conglomerates buying things, decreasing. What they do is they come in, they buy a company, they try to drain it of its assets, whatever that might be. And then they try to flip it and sell it in a few years, mm-hmm. usually at the cost of the customer experience or the employees.
And labor, too.
So
this is kind of what's happening on the second half of the most recent season of Emily in Paris.
Oh, my God.
Emily has met a hot Italian man and his family has, you know Emily.
I know. Well,
you know our girl, Emily. She's meeting hot men all over. Now she's Emily in Rome. And anyway, his family owns a cashmere company, and it seems like another marketing firm is trying to buy it and flip it and do. I don't know if they're actually a private equity firm, but what I'm saying is they're trying to do this to the Italian man's company, and Emily is going to save them, I think.
So I just have to say, like, right, the reason this podcast works is that I'm on the ground. I'm bringing you Ice Spice. I'm bringing you Cardi B stories. I'm bringing you that. Elise is on the ground in white woman culture. She's doing Eras tour in Poland. Can't get more white than that. She's talking about Emily in Paris subplots. We're here. We're touching culture.
We are. And that's the reason why the podcast works. We get a 360 on all of it.
360.
Because I did spend a lot of time watching. I'm not caught up with Emily in Paris, but I did spend a lot of time this weekend.
Because I am not a lick of an episode.
Well, listen, her and Marcello, they have a connection.
Okay, speaking of connection, Meredith, you have over 200,000 followers on TikTok. You already talked about how you first started making videos there, but did it pop off instantly? Or, like, how do you view your content now? And, like, because, yeah, like, you talked about that shift between makeup to private equity, but, like, now I feel like you're, like, pop culture commentator.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like when I was doing makeup, I had probably, like, 60,000 followers, right? And I have been, like, in the, like, high 200,000s for a while now, and I don't know that it will go beyond that, but I feel like the people that I have who are there, like, they are with me because they want to hear sort of my take on things, which is, you know, often not the take that the mainstream media wants to push out. And I don't mean that in a, like, conspiracy theory.
Well, you already talked about National Enquirer, so we are worried.
Yeah, that is true. But, like, you know, just the other day with Taylor and Brittany Mahomes, I was like, this is very strategic. Taylor publicly hugged Brittany Mahomes because she wants to say to her Trump-supporting Swifties, it's okay. I still like people who support Trump. And then like 2 days later, she comes out in support of Kamala Harris. That was very strategic.
We talked about it on our most recent episode.
I mean,
I agree that it was strategic, but I also think that she was always going to endorse Kamala.
Oh, 1,000%. But she needed a buffer.
I think that she, well, again, we talked about this all on the Patreon, but yes, I think that she played a game to be like, I can be friends with whoever I want, and you guys can't tell me who I'm going to vote for, but I am going to vote for Kamala. I think she likes to mess with people's expectations in a way that is sometimes frustrating as a Swiftie.
Totally.
And would you consider yourself a Swiftie?
No.
Okay.
No, and please, like, folks,
it's okay.
Don't find my address.
No.
I like Taylor Swift. I like her music. I love so much.
Taylor Swift in karaoke goes off.
Yeah.
Okay? Goes off.
Yeah, that's very,
you
very
You belong
true.
With me in karaoke? Come on.
Totally. But I think that to that point is that, you know, some people are ready to have the conversation around what does strategy look like for celebrities of that level? What is the intersection of celebrity and politics? Because there is an intersection.
Yeah.
And if you want to have those conversations, if you're game for them, then it's the place to be. If not, I get a lot of people who are like, you know, it's just a girl hanging out with her friends. And I'm like, oh.
Nothing with Taylor Swift is that. She's very, Tree Pain and her working around the clock to create. Like, it's very funny to me to see people who are like, who actually think that she watched the debate and decided based on the debate to post that.
To write five paragraphs, right, 2 seconds.
Clearly, like, copy edited long paragraphs. Yeah. They're like, people are like, wow, she needed to watch the debate to decide. I'm like, no, this has been in the works. Anyway,
I get that same way with Beyonce. She always got a cousin she's like, my uncles always loved whiskey, and that's why I'm selling $95. My grandmother loved condition. It's like,
my
always
God, don't
a
get
thing.
Me started on Gigi and her cashmere line.
Well,
okay, but speaking of people who want to get your takes on something.
Yes.
It is time for us to dive into today's discourse because it is rich, and based on the history that you just gave us, I'm very excited for us to discuss it all together. So today, for the discourse, we are diving into the turbulent waters of wedding discourse once again. I know that Millie knows what we're going to talk about today because she suggested it to me to look into, but Meredith, have you engaged with the come with me while I get kicked out of a wedding I was booked to do hair and makeup for series that went viral kind of over the weekend and last week?
So, a little bit.
Okay.
And what I will say is I've been told the story from multiple perspectives.
Okay.
So, but I never found the original video.
Okay, well, so you're going to hear the Go Touch Grass perspective, which I did watch. So it is actually three videos. Comes out to about 30 minutes of content. So it's not like a full who the fuck did I marry
type situation.
But this was a series that was posted by at the Key Look LLC. So it is posted by the makeup artist in question.
Okay.
And the thing that's interesting about these videos, because I did find the original ones, is that it's not really told. It's not like her speaking to camera telling the story. It's all the behind the scenes footage that she took and then text over that footage. So I'm going to be reading a lot more text than we are actually going to be watching video, because it's not. That's not really how she chooses to present the story, which is new.
It's giving George Lucas Star Wars beginning scrolling.
Well, yes. Yeah, but I mean, it's new as far as like TikTok stories as we've had to present them on the pod.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
So let's get into it. Part one, I've divided them up. Part one, getting ready.
Okay.
So she starts by telling us the weekend was hell.
Okay, we're off to a good start.
Off to a big start. She says that she had three weddings in total with huge bridal parties. And then she reveals that she, the makeup artist, has just gone through a breakup herself and says that she, I stuck it out. I even cried while doing one bride's makeup from start to finish. At the end of the day, the bridal party looked beautiful. Everyone was happy, and the wedding was a success for the team. So this is about a different bridal party, but I'm just going to say, if my makeup artist was crying start to finish, I would not be super happy about that.
Yeah. Jeez. What city is this? I need to know.
You know what? It's right here in New York.
It's in New York City.
The wedding takes place at the Bronx Botanical Garden, which I know you've been to a wedding at the Bronx Botanical Garden. I'm like, that's nice.
Yes.
But yeah, so it's all here in New York.
Wow.
I don't know where, like, the getting ready place, whatever, but the wedding itself is at the Bronx Botanical Garden.
That feels LA coded, though, to be like, like in LA, someone would be like, hi, just like, could I sage the room that we're going to be in because I'm going through a breakup? Like, that is bringing
honestly,
a lot of yourself. I feel like New Yorkers check it at the door more.
Yeah. A little bit, but you know, me and Elise are, you know, we said we're citizens of Planet Woo.
Mm-hmm.
We're not like, you know, we're not elected officials of Planet mm-hmm. Woo, but we're there. So I'm like, I wouldn't hate somebody.
I wouldn't hate a little sage, a little crystal moment, but for my makeup artist personally bringing negative vibes.
Check it at the door.
Yeah, I agree that definitely
New York checks it at the door.
Yeah, New York checks it at the door, I would agree. So now we get to the wedding in question. On September 7th, I had a change of attitude. Although I didn't want to deal with the world because I had a broken heart, I understand that I work in the wedding industry and I have to show up to support women on the biggest day of their life. I got to work early and ready to make sure Kiana, that is the bride, her name is Kiana, had a day that she wouldn't forget. I wanted to show up as my best self, and I did. So right off the bat to me, I'm like, again, check it at the door. You're too invested already. It's too much. My makeup artist for my wedding, great energy. She did my makeup. She was very nice during the time. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need someone to be like, I'm showing up as if I am your best friend. I'm like, whoa.
No.
I could see the lines get blurred because a good hairstylist, a good makeup artist, well, hairstylist more conversation. You got to chat. You got to, what's up? So what are you working on? What blah, 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 blah. Like,
chatting
like,
for sure.
Yeah. You got to be a little chatty, but not too much because of me. But yeah, exactly. Like, it's more getting the customer comfortable or the client comfortable than you dumping your shit on them.
Yeah. I feel like she's already injecting her own emotionality into the situation in a level that's already like, it's becoming about her that she's like, I'm going to overcome my breakup and give this bride the best wedding ever. And I'm like, okay.
No.
I need, again, check it at the door.
Right.
As you said. So, at this point, this is where we start seeing she's filming the, right, before this, she's been filming herself, like, arriving. Now she starts filming, like, the bridal party and just people hanging out. It's not abnormal for a makeup artist to have in their contract that they can take photos and videos for social. She says this in her video. She's like, it's part of the contract. We can take videos. But I will say, like, you do kind of expect it to be in relation to the makeup.
to the work.
Right. Yeah. Just like snap a couple pics of the bridesmaids, do the like before and after. Yeah. I actually love seeing those transformations
on
TikTok.
I love those videos.
Yeah.
And usually the content of those videos are like, here's my bride, Cheryl. She has a lot of redness on her skin. So I'm using this color corrector. I'm using this product, this product, this product. She wanted this. This is what she liked in the trial. That's fascinating to
me. Yeah. Getting the detail. Like if there are specific hair details or whatever, like that all makes sense. But
she's like, the food, the this, everything has nothing.
Yeah, from right off the bat, it's like she's just showing the bridal party and they're sitting there with their like under eye masks and she's just like filming in their faces and stuff. And it's just already a lot of behind the scenes that's not related to the makeup. Which, like, I don't know, people's weddings are intimate. Like, I don't want everything, especially in your, like, pre-getting ready. Like, I don't I always, especially if it's, like, for a wedding, I show up looking pretty much like hell so that I can be, like, transformed like a beautiful swan.
Yeah.
So I don't want all of the footage of me pre my beautiful swan transformation.
Yeah, for sure.
I took it out of my contract.
Really?
When I got married, I was not, like, chronic. Well, I was chronically online, just to myself. Yeah. I wasn't a you know, influencer, I wasn't a content creator, but when I got married and I had the makeup artist contract, I did request to take out.
She says in this that she's had people who have requested to take it out. When I was getting married, it wasn't really top of mind to me because when we were signing our vendor contracts, it was like late 2019, early 2020, so like TikTok wasn't really top of mind.
Yes.
So in my head, I was like, yeah, whatever. If she wants to post some Instagrams of like the before and after, I wasn't really thinking about TikTok, like it being turned into a TikTok
content is less polished and more like BTS. Yeah.
So I didn't need the haters to see me
in
like
in my
morning. And she did put up photos, like I said, she could put up like photos with the like makeup on afterwards, but none of the like behind the scenes, none of the whatever. It also just adds like, it takes away a layer of complexity.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what I think the biggest thing is, like little pro tip for people getting married is like, if you can remove layers of complexity from your day.
Totally.
The better off you are.
I agree. It's like one less thing that you have to like be worried about or have in your head. Unless you actually want that.
Some people like it.
Want
that's
a
totally
wedding content
true.
Creator who's filming the entire thing.
Totally.
So that's one thing that she kind of says is that she at one point says that the bride mentioned wanting a wedding content creator, but ultimately decided not to go with one. And it's like, well, you don't know why she...
Yeah.
She might have decided no because she was like, oh, I actually don't want this in my face or whatever. So, but that helps lead this makeup artist to the fateful decision that we will come to. So first she says, filming the content also helped boost my energy. The entire room was vibing off my energy. Now the bride had mentioned that the groom did not like TikToks, but she said it would be fine and everyone would be a part of all the content. She even mentioned that she was going to hire a content creator for her wedding. So again, it's like, but maybe they decided not to because the groom doesn't like TikToks. So now this brings us to what I would say is like the fateful quote. Millie, do you actually want to read it for us? What it says, the text?
So I made a decision that I would stay for the entire wedding day and get content.
So she decided on her own to become the wedding content creator.
That's crazy.
What do we think of that choice?
So just for background or context, right? Right now, it's a new phenomenon. There's a wedding videographer, a wedding photographer, and now people are hiring additional to those things, a wedding content creator that is just someone who just makes content for social media.
Yeah, does like event socials.
Event
I guess
social,
you would say.
Like live stream or whatever, like capturing, making videos and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. I know we say crazy and insane all the time, and I'm really trying not to, but like, typically, when you're doing bridal makeup, what was your call time for that? It's like 8 a.m.
Yeah,
and the wedding starts at 5 or something.
Early, like 8:30. I remember it wasn't like super early because I was like, I don't like waking up super early. So
yeah,
it's my fucking day, so I'm not doing that. But it was like 8 or 9 a.m.
Yeah, so it's like to stay till that's just crazy.
And it's a different job, fundamentally, than being the hair and makeup artist.
Yeah, and I also think it's like sometimes when someone tells you, oh, no, that's okay, we're really all set, they really mean that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's probably one of those things where, like, this person probably didn't take no for an answer.
I think that that's going to come up a lot. Mm-hmm. I get, we'll talk through it, but, like, I get the vibe that this person was not reading between the lines on a lot of different instances, and also people were being really polite.
Yeah,
and that it created a situation.
Dismissive communication.
Yeah. I will say, though, I do think they did a good job on the makeup. Like, this girl who's a bridesmaid looks
great.
Beautiful.
Great makeup.
The bride looks beautiful. Like, the thing that she was hired to do, she did do a good job.
Yeah. There was one, though, like, when I was putting in the grass hole for the dog, there was one screenshot that you put where she just had, like, this girl's weave. Like, you could just see the tracks in the picture. And I'm like, girl, nobody wants to see that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well,
like, it was just, like, too much.
Part
like,
of the behind-the-scenes footage.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I guess this is my overall thing is, like, you said layer of complication, but I would say it adds a layer of transparency that we actually don't need. I think it goes back to, like, the Find Your Friends app on your phone. And it's like, we need to have some mystery, something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't need to see all of it. My mom is a hairstylist.
Yeah.
And she is vehemently opposed to seeing salons in a mall. There was like a waxing salon we walked by or threading. And so you're like going to Macy's and you're seeing people getting waxed. And she's like, that's not, I don't like this. This is bad. Like this, we're not supposed to be seeing this. Like this is like,
this it's is an intimate moment.
Yeah. Like we shouldn't be knowing that this girl's getting her upper lip waxed. Like all that. There's no shame in it or anything, but that's what
but
I mean.
It's putting the entire process on display in a way where I personally, even if I was like, yeah, for sure, get content of my makeup, whatever, I would not necessarily want every single moment of it filmed.
Listen, I got angles too.
Exactly. I'm like, also, again, with a wedding content creator, if you're actually going to hire someone, I imagine it would be similar to a photographer and a videographer where you're choosing someone whose style you like and whose finished product you like. Because that's, we talked about Sepia Bride. And it's like, you pick someone based on what their aesthetic style is and stuff. So they don't know what type of videos this lady creates or how she films or what her content looks like. Like, if you're going to go into it, it is an art form of taking these videos. And so you would pick someone who's, you would want to see their finished work.
Well, there's also like, there's a lot of photographers that specialize in like live comedy photography. And not all are created equally, I'll say that.
Oh, God.
And like,
there are some shots out there that I'm like, of myself on stage that I'm just like, oh, that is.
I don't want
like,
this.
Okay, I got one eye closed. Yeah. My mouth is open. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like,
and that's fine, but I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's at this point, we're like 5 minutes into video one at this point, and we have it's been all behind the scenes footage, which means like she was filming every single second of every single thing. We have not gotten to the wedding yet. We are still getting ready. So according to her, everyone kept telling me to stay for the wedding because I would be so much fun and I bring so much good energy.
Oh my God.
I told them, I don't know when I'm going to leave, but we are booked to come to the venue. And I also told them I'll continue to film content. So I wonder if they were just like, oh, you're so fun. Like if maybe someone casually said it thinking, well, she's not going to actually think we're inviting her to the wedding.
You don't have a life. Like if you have to work at 8 a.m., what time did you wake up to prep the kits to do all that? Like, I'm like, girl, go home.
Well, right? That'll
she's
come
so
into
miserable.
Play. Yeah.
Right? Like she came into the day all upset. Like I'd be like, okay, I'm going to do my best and then I'm going to go home and I'm going to crash out. Right?
Exactly.
But it's like, you know, I've done it. You know, when you're like hanging out with a group and one of the people's like, oh, I'm going to have to leave at whatever. And you're like, oh, what a bummer. You're going to have to leave early. What a shame.
Exactly. Oh. Like, oh, I wish you could stay.
Yeah.
Not like actually you should stay.
Right.
Yeah.
I very rarely mean you should stay when I know.
And this is hard for me to hear because I'm somebody, if I'm at a party or something or at a bar, I like to stay like. I'm one of the
you
last
like
people to
stay?
Leave.
That's so nice.
I'm like, whatever. Like,
but I also
I'm just
think
when
that's
I'm out already.
Scenario.
Yeah. Then a fucking
know?
Wedding.
Then,
yeah. then a wedding
contact.
I'm working. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're like, if it's like a birthday party, it's like, oh no, stay. That's different than like, I think they're just being, I just really think everyone was being polite
well,
and she was.
It's a work thing. Work things are different when people are like, oh, you have to leave. It's different than like a friend's party. Although I'm always the first to leave.
People on TikTok are saying like, there's a racial context thing too, because the content creator was Black, and people were like, you know, maybe they're being very polite and nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, the bride is also Black.
The bride was Black, but they were saying that, like, the groom's family is white, and then they were being polite, and it was just, like, something of, like, some, you know, had the entire bridal party been Black, maybe somebody would have directly said, you need to fucking leave.
Yeah.
That is what the discourse is talking about.
To go through, like, the racial makeup is, like, yeah, the makeup artist we're talking about, she's Black. The bride is Black. There's, like, one bridesmaid who is Black, and then the assistant wedding planner who will eventually tell her to leave that we meet. But the groom's family is white.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of, how things shake out. But it does seem like people were being a little overly polite in this scenario for whatever reason. So then she says, we started filming the fiance anthem trend on TikTok. Are you guys aware of this trend?
No.
No.
Okay, we're going to watch a little bit of one fiance anthem video so you can kind of get what the vibe is.
Just like that, she's off the market. All her girls like, period. And all his boys like, yeah. And all she want to say is, my fiance. Every other word is, my fiance. Let me tell you all about my fiance. This is my ring from my fiance.
Yeah, that's just like what a final version of the trend looks like. And for the listeners, basically it's played to that song, and you have to get a bunch of different clips.
Yeah, you need six clips for that.
Yeah, it requires, like, basically every single line is a different setup for this clip. So it requires, just kind of like a lot of different social media setups for people to lip sync to the different lines. And you see the bride, and you see the bride and the groom, and you see the bride and the groomsman. And it goes on. The video is about 3 minutes long. So again, it's a lot of content
trend. That takes a lot of time. And that's what people underestimate when they're like, oh, I just want to go viral with, like, this fun music. It's like, it's always going to take you longer than you think.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. It also takes a lot of buy-in from many, many different people.
Yeah.
And if we remember, the groom does not like TikTok. He specifically said he doesn't like TikToks. And, like, is the bride the shining star of every wedding? Of course. But, like, the groom does have some say in the proceedings, and if he doesn't want to do TikToks.
Because TikTok is a lottery, is a wild card, and people will interpret it any kind of way. And then once people download the TikTok and put it on Twitter, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
As we've said.
You're out of control.
You just very quickly can lose control.
So now we start to meet some of the other vendors. We get, here comes the photographer for the day, Melissa. So again, there is a legit photographer here. Mm-hmm. There is a legit videographer who is here. And one of the things that's important to know about, like, wedding photographers and videographers specifically is one of their skills is that they capture the day in a non-invasive way. Mm-hmm. That's, like, part of the job, is that they get these intimate moments without getting up in your face in your most intimate moments. Yeah. Like, particularly my wedding videographer just chilled and hung back. Like, I barely saw the guy. Mm-hmm. The photographer, you develop more of, like, a personal relationship with because you're doing the photos. But even still, like, my photographer was super professional, got photos of everything, but wasn't, up in everyone's face. And that's kind of part of the gig, is the not being invasive in these intimate moments. Because like we said, it's an intimate day and time. So then she has a few different slides about how she gets content of the vendors so that she can tag them and always give them her personal email so they can make adjustments. And I'm like, are you a makeup artist or a social media manager? Like, what is going on?
What do you want to be, girl?
It's tough, though, because to be the devil's advocate, you kind of have to, if you want to be a good makeup artist, you got to have the social presence.
I get getting content but it seems like her main focus is the content
media.
And getting social media. And for her to have all these systems in place for, like, the social media aspect, I'm like, she clearly has a team with her, because it's her company. The Key Look LLC is her company. So I'm like, I guess the other women who she hired are, like, the ones who are actually physically doing the hair and makeup.
Who's doing the makeup? If this woman's, like, wandering around, isn't everything taking longer?
Yeah, she has a team with her that is doing the hair and makeup. So maybe she's, like, top line observing. It's kind of unclear to me, as the hair and makeup artist, like, what her involvement was in creating the looks, because you visibly see other people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, sometimes she flips the camera. So it's kind of unclear. She says, at one point, I told everyone I would tag them in the fiance trend video, and I did invite them to collab the post, but only the flower company accepted. The shade.
Girl!
And it's like, well, at that point, you've been kicked out of the wedding, so maybe the other vendors don't really want to be, like, associated with you.
Yeah, after.
Because this is posted after, so it's like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be tagged in the video by the lady who got kicked out of the wedding. So that is the end of the first video. It's 8 minutes long, and we are nowhere near the beginning of the wedding. Now we go to part two, which is just the first looks. So, beginning of the wedding is her finishing up the makeup and heading to the venue. They're contracted to go to the venue for 2 hours. So at this point, she is still, like, at the point, she's still supposed to be there. Yeah. We get to the Bronx Botanical Garden. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And then they're kind of more getting ready stuff. She's talking about how she always goes above and beyond for her bride, how she once made boob pasties by hand for a bride.
That's insane.
Behind the scenes of the videographer, according to her, everybody is laughing. Everybody is having a good time. Then she says, I'm still filming content, and the bride is getting ready to be finished with everything. Whenever I want to pull the bride or bridal party for content, I always ask the vendors first if it is okay, because I don't want to be in anyone's way. I've been in this industry long enough, and I know how it works. Photographers and videographers want to do their job and get the bride the footage she wants professionally. I've had my fair share of times being yelled at about me wanting to get content when I first started in the industry, so I just kindly ask so that we're all on the same page. So she's been told before to back off. And now, but the way she read that is like, oh, I should just ask beforehand.
Or like, she's just like, wow, videographers are so sensitive. Yeah. Not like anything with me. I mean, go off on people who think like that. Like, that's so, I think everything's my fault all the time.
And I know. Like, I'm like, I'm always like, was I being rude? Was I being weird? Is the videographer? I would be like, is the videographer mad at me? Is the videographer mad at me?
Yeah, but she's like, wow, these guys take their job so seriously.
Exactly. And also, just to note, like, this text is over a video of her where she is videoing the photographer, taking pictures, and yelling for the photographer to turn around and smile. Well, she's like, Melissa, turn around. And it's like, this person is trying to take photos of the bride.
This is so cringe. This
you know what hard. This is, though? Mm. You know those people that you meet as comedians?
Yes.
You meet them and they go, oh, well, I'm hilarious.
Yes.
And people always tell me I could do comedy. And so you're like, oh,
that's
cool.
Every fucking dating app.
Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Like, what? Maybe take a class or, you know, hit up some open mics.
Sure. Yeah.
Those are typically people who are never going to do that, but they have that main character syndrome.
Yes.
And I feel like this is this woman who keeps being like, I had everyone laughing.
Yes. She says it over and over again. Everyone was laughing. Everyone was vibing off my energy. Everyone was having such a great time because of me. And I'm like,
I think everyone's having a bad time because of me. I'm like the opposite. Yeah. So like that's a real comic for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, where you're like, when is the right time for me to say my joke? Is it good? And it's like, I get being a bubbly personality, but it starts to feel like, okay, are you sucking all the energy out of this situation by being a little bit, again, main character,
telling
energy?
This feels like to me, I don't know. Have you ever seen like a really embarrassing moment on a TV show or in a movie and you have to like turn it off?
Yes.
Because it's so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This, I mean, the movie Eighth Grade, for example, mm-hmm. was like one of the most difficult experiences of my life.
When I was a kid, I couldn't watch Doug all the way through because I was like, you gotta act right to Patty Mayonnaise or just stop talking to her. Like,
exactly.
I can't. Like, I'm like, leave this girl alone. Yeah. You're always doing crazy stuff in her presence. Like, it's making me feel weird.
Yeah.
Please stop.
This is what this is to me.
That's what's wild about it is that this is all from her perspective. So normally you're telling the best version of a story for yourself. Mm-hmm. And within 5 minutes, I was like, oh, the makeup artist is doing too much.
She's doing too much.
Oh, she's doing too much. And I feel like it's a very interesting case study because it's not the bride being like, I had to kick out my makeup artist who did all this wild stuff. It's the makeup artist telling the story and you as the viewer are like, ah, oh my God, you're so in the wrong.
Yeah.
Oh no, oh no. Like,
yeah, she's still wrong,
So this is when we get a shot of, like, the bride and her train is being held. And it says, the girl in the back is the assistant planner that came up to me at the end of the night to tell me I was being kicked out. So we get one shot of this assistant planner who kicked her out. And maybe I'm reading too into it, but I feel like the assistant planner already looks irritated in the video. So at this point, the bride is going to do her first look with the bridesmaids. So it's the one where, like, you know, the bride is already and the bridesmaids turn around and then they go, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. They all either are really crying or pretending to cry. And everybody loves the beautiful bride. So she says, Kiana was getting ready to do her first look with the bridesmaids. People were trying to disrupt, and I was being top flight security, making sure my bride's first look photos weren't being ruined by strangers. That feeling when you are the stranger.
Yeah. I was coming from inside the house, girl.
So she, if you watch this footage, she is so up in the first look that I took this screenshot. You can see the photographer in the photo. So she's in the middle of all the bridesmaids, and she's clearly in all the photos of the first look because you can tell from the way she's filming, because you see the videographer and the photographer, that it's like, oh, she's up in these girls' faces, and there's no way she's not in all of these photos. So she is literally a stranger ruining all of the photos.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly annoying. So now we get to the first look with the groom, who, remember, does not like TikTok.
Yeah, hates TikTok.
She has them do 3 separate fiancé anthem videos, which the groom does oblige to. So he's like...
Yeah, he's kind of showing up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's going with the thing that he doesn't like. And also, a lot of straight white men don't like TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, he says it, but he does...
He participates. Oh, totally.
He does the videos.
He's down to clown.
There's one of him to camera lip syncing. There's one with him and all his groomsmen lip syncing. There's one of the two of them. Like, he obliges 3 different videos that are pretty high level TikToks to be dancing and lip syncing. Like, if you are someone who finds doing TikToks cringy, that's kind of the peak
of
what that feels like. And he's doing it.
And there are other trends. There's a similar, like, to the My Fiance trend. There's a trend like that in Spanish about, like, any guy I want, I can get. I want him, I have him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of the thing. So, and that trend is good. I mean, that trend is good because it's just the bride saying that stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't require the groom to do anything but stand there. So.
If you want to be economical about your day, though, from a time perspective, I would say cut the TikTok trends.
Of course. Don't do that shit. But
because
he did,
like,
3, yeah.
In 5 years, if you have kids and you want to show them, like, your wedding photos or whatever... Nobody wants to see your TikTok trend.
I don't know. I would go.
But, like, will TikTok still be here? I know you can download it, but I'm just like,
Well, TikTok still be here is good, yeah.
Like, what the staying power is of these things. It's like a flat Stanley. Like, I don't need to fucking see your flat Stanley from when you went to the Great Wall of China in 2012 now.
Well, I just will say, my nephew, he's 14 now. And I did a mannequin challenge with him when he was like 8 or 9,
mm-hmm.
like in 2016 or something. And he recently asked me, like, hey, and it's in my Instagram feed, like deep in 20, when was mm-hmm. mannequin challenge 2016?
Yeah, yeah.
When Hillary Clinton.
I know. Different days.
God.
Different days.
Yeah. So he watched it and he was like, wow. And I was like, it was nice that I had this.
I think it could be cute, but it's like, you have to want to do, especially with a trend that's super, this fiancé trend is very involved.
Yes.
So it's like, you have to want to do it. That has to be an artifact that you personally actually want, which I think is the true of all wedding things. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't, like, no one wants to be forced to do content on their wedding that they don't actually want. So here's where she says, I was helping with the photos and making sure everyone looks good and catching things the photographer and the videographer were missing to make sure they had perfect photos. If I'm like, this photographer and videographer must have been on their last fucking edge.
No,
if she's starting to be like, you missed this, you missed that. Now it's like, you're the makeup artist. You're not even mm-hmm. the wedding content creator that you have appointed yourself to be. Like, this is not good. So then we get another video. This is of the groom. She's yelling, give me GQ. Give me GQ. He's sitting there. And she says, got a quick video of the groom. Still not much conversation. I asked him to use his lighter and he was kind enough to allow me to. That was about it. Then she says she was hanging out with the groomsmen, blah, blah, blah. It's time to go back to the venue. It was about 6:15 p.m. and the bridal party had to come back to do rehearsal for the ceremony. I ended up misplacing the groom's lighter, but he found it on the table I left it on in the same room. He seemed like he had a little attitude about the lighter. I would have ran to my car to get him one, if anything. He also found it, so I figured it was over. So she borrowed his lighter. She lost his lighter. He found it. This guy's just annoyed with her at this point, I think. I think
Dude.
If she wasn't pissing him off, the lighter would be nothing, but he's annoyed with her at this
Dude,
point.
Dude, if someone loses my lighter and I'm like, I want it back on my wedding day?
Yeah.
fuck off.
Yeah, I'm like, and what type of lighter was it? You know, because sometimes you do have one where it's like, that's my lighter, that's my special one. Yeah, for, like, yeah, I have one that I use only for candles in my house because I got it in Spain and I like it. So maybe it was a sentimental lighter. We don't know. Then she says she gives the bride a touch-up, and the bride assures her again that she loves her energy. After the ceremony, I went to the cocktail hour to eat and get a drink. I didn't talk to many people, and I stopped recording because I was so tired. So now she's, like, eating the food and drinks, which is abnormal. Normally, wedding vendors, you set aside a plate for the vendors that you expect to stay through the whole ceremony. But again, she's not expected to stay for the whole ceremony. So, like, they're not accounting for food for her. And it is abnormal for them to have a drink. Cocktail is strange.
I feel like you could also, like, talk to the vendor, like, because there's usually a kitchen or a back. Yeah. Yo, can you get me, like, some cheese or can you whatever, like, in the prep room area? And, like, that's, like, kind of behind the scenes, whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like, we obviously wanted our vendors who were there to be fed. And, yeah, everyone had a plate set aside. But I wouldn't necessarily have that wasn't necessarily taken from the cocktail hour food. Because that's just, like, the past hors d'oeuvres. Usually it's, like, some of the actual dinner.
Yeah, that's just
and
so
is
crazy.
Set aside. And personally, I wouldn't have cared if my like vendors had a drink, but it is odd for them to have a drink.
Well, also too, like if you're supposed to be getting content, but if you're supposed to be getting pictures, if you're supposed to be getting video, you really can't like stop and have a drink normally, right?
Like like if she is the wedding content creator that she appointed herself to be. So now we get to part three, the wedding. Part three starts with a shot of the actual ceremony where, as you can see, she's just standing right in the middle of the aisle. Like pretty close to the front, filming the entire thing. Here's like how close she gets to the bride's face.
Oh,
she's right up in the bride's face. So she comes back to the venue. She eats more food. I finally see the bride and groom, and I haven't finished the fiance anthem TikTok we've been doing all day.
Oh my god!
He's not a fiance anymore. He's a husband now.
He's her husband. So I asked the bride if we can film another portion of the video. The groom immediately says no, very aggressive, then goes to me, we're not doing any more TikToks. You're getting on my fucking nerves. So personally, I would leave immediately.
Yes. That the assistant planner had to then take...
Okay, so then, according to the... She says the bride then tells her, you're not getting on my nerves. He's just cranky. Don't mind him. Next line. I immediately burst into tears.
Oh my God.
She's crying now. To the bride. I hadn't realized that I had been holding in and ignoring my pain all day.
Oh my God.
So where this goes is at this point, we finally get to hear her speak to camera. She's very long-winded and doesn't... The gist of it is that she's like, so after this, basically, she is told by the assistant planner to leave.
Yeah.
The assistant planner tells her to leave. She goes to her car. She says, you know what? I'm actually not going to leave.
Oh my God.
I'm going to be here for the bride.
Don't give up the ship.
She comes back, approaches the bride, says to the bride, I heard you guys wanted me to leave. Is crying. The bride then has to finagle this entire
situation
on her wedding day. She's at the wedding reception. It is finally after that she is told again that she has to leave. She does leave. She includes a video of herself crying in the car on her way out, saying, like, I never wanted to be part of this wedding industry, whatever.
She says the wedding industry is
horrible, blah, blah, blah. But then it cuts back to her present day, and she concludes, my light shines so bright, people in this industry can't take it. So that's what she's learned.
Oh, terminally unique.
Yeah, exactly, from this, is that it's actually that her light was shining so bright that people couldn't take it.
Yeah, everyone else is the problem.
Yeah. Mm. So, to wrap this all up, people did not resonate with the story in the way that Key Look LLC thought. She has since posted and deleted one apology in which she, like, apologized to the bride, but basically stuck to the line of, it was in the contract that I could take content, and it's normal to be at the cocktail hour, and basically, like, whatever, what I did was fine. Now she has posted a second apology, which is still up online, where she takes more accountability, apologizes directly to everyone, and it's definitely more of the polished TikTok apology. And then it comes in two parts, and like the second part comes many hours later, so she's wearing a completely different outfit, which I just think is funny.
Man.
Since then, then guests of the wedding and bridesmaids from the wedding have come forward in the comments on different posts and in their own videos to say, number one, she was actually asked to leave several times by multiple different people. It wasn't just this. It was clearly signaled to her prior to the assistant being like, you have to actually go, that she had to actually go, and that she is definitely in a bunch of the photos. Like, she actually did mess up a lot of the real paid-for content of the wedding. I imagine the photographer can edit her out of some of them. Photographers can do some pretty amazing things, but number one, that might cost the bride more, because super heavy edits like that sometimes cost more.
Take more time.
Yeah, to take an action, to take this woman out of the middle of the entire first look and all of this stuff. And the video is the video. So she's in the videographer's videos. I'm sure he can cut around it, but again, you can tell from the footage that she took that she's in the shit, like in the middle, in people's faces. So that is the saga as it stands of the Key Look LLC, the makeup artist who was kicked out. Final thoughts. How do we feel?
I just wonder if there's an industry where this is encouraged. Like, maybe she should be a pageant stylist.
Interesting.
And then people want all that fucking
content.
Where
they want to see her light shine so bright.
And they want somebody who's obsessed. Because I'm just like, you're in the wrong industry. Because again, like, this isn't about you. It's whatever. But I don't know.
Or offer that service. Like, actually be like, I'm a makeup artist, but I also offer content creation services, and have them be bought separately and say, this is my style. Because that's another thing with like photographers. I remember you get like a questionnaire that's like, the types of pictures you do want, the types of photos you don't want. How hands-on do you want me? Do you want me posing you? Do you want me to stay back? Do you want photos of this, that, and the other thing? Like, there is a professional way to do this kind of thing too, and ask the couple like, how would you want me to get content as your wedding content creator, that her just deciding on the fly, I am going to assume this role, doesn't account for? Mm-hmm.
I say, why don't you become an officiant?
Wow. she wants to make everybody's day the best day ever.
She wants to be in the middle of every single thing. So put yourself in and become the
But you still have to take a step back. Yeah. I'm like, as someone who's officiated a few weddings. Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to. But what she'll do is she can come at it from the approach of like, do you want like a very hands-on day where I bring my big personality to make your big day
the
best day ever? Like, I feel like... Maybe she's realizing she doesn't want to be a makeup artist, and maybe that she had to have this experience to figure that out. And also, I kind of wonder, how many followers did she have before this?
That's a really great question. It was, I don't know how many she had before as to now. I can look at her page. So she's only at 7,000, almost 8,000 followers now. So it's not like, this has not made her personally hugely viral. Maybe if she pivots into wedding content creation, I think that she should probably take a step back from being behind the camera for a second.
My love, take a step back.
If you're listening,
which I know she's probably
she's listening.
I would say take a giant step back, because I think she thought this was going to propel her.
Yeah.
Take a step back on this job. Take a step forward in therapy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And go touch grass, which brings us
to Grass Hole.
To Grass Hole of the Week. Speaking of people who need to go touch grass.
Yes.
Millie, who are we declaring as our Grass Hole this week?
So our Grass Hole this week is a celebrity.
Ooh, fun. Ooh. Nice. Yes. Yay.
Shannon Sharp. Do you know who Shannon Sharp is?
Yes, I do, because Danny watches ESPN.
Exactly. For the uninitiated, Shannon Sharp is a former NFL American football professional tight end who played 14 seasons with the Denver Broncos mostly. He's regarded as one of the greatest tight ends of all time. He ranks third in tight end receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdown. Just so you know, he was a really good football player. Now, today, he's currently a sports analyst and announcer and podcast host. He has several shows on ESPN, and he has also a lot of podcasts. Club Shay Shay, which he hosts, and and Nightcap, which he hosts with Chad Ochocinco Johnson and Gilbert Arenas. So Club Shay Shay is always going viral for the long interviews with people like Cat Williams. Like the Cat Williams interview went super viral.
Oh, was that that's who him. The Cat Williams interview was with?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. With Monique, with Amanda Seals, Marlon Wayans. He has 3 million followers on Instagram and 2 million on Twitter. On TikTok, it's unclear. I don't think he has a TikTok, but Club Shay Shay has, and it's like almost 200,000. Anyway, last week, Shannon Sharp accidentally went on Instagram Live in the middle of a steamy encounter. With the camera facing the ceiling, the NFL legend and podcast host could be heard in the background huffing, puffing, and presumably blowing a house down.
Oh, no.
He was having fun, and a woman's voice could also be heard, making it clear to everyone what was going on. Sharp breathlessly panted the name Michelle during the encounter. It set the world on an internet manhunt to try to find who this mystery Michelle woman is. Because he kept saying, like, he just kept saying her name, and it was very, but it was on live, right?
This was a live.
He did an Instagram live where he was having sex. We couldn't see it because the camera was facing up. On his Nightcap podcast, Sharp revealed that he wasn't, so first he was like, oh, I was hacked. That wasn't me.
Honestly, I'm, yeah. If you accidentally go live while having sex, I do feel like you get to try one. I was hacked.
Yes.
Then he revealed he wasn't hacked. Obviously, I'm embarrassed. Someone that is extremely, extremely private to have one of your most intimate details, the audio, heard for the entire world to hear. Football player. I'm embarrassed for a number of reasons. He also detailed exactly what happened for anyone who perhaps didn't understand the full picture. I threw my phone on the bed, engaged in an activity. I did not know IG Live. I never turned IG Live on, so I don't know how it works. All of a sudden, my other phone started going off. People were calling him like, you're on IG
Live.
Right,
yeah. Hey, just a heads up, bud.
At least you know who your good friends are. Those people who were those first missed phone calls who said, buddy.
Yeah. Apparently it was Cat Williams. It was like, I don't know. I was like, people made jokes like, well, at least you're not gay. Which is like, oh my God.
Mm, it's not the point.
Yeah, not the point. Like,
how are we still throwing that one around?
He said, I called my agent, I called the agency, I called ESPN. I thought, just tell them the truth. My phone wasn't hacked. It wasn't a prank. It was just me being a healthy, active male, explained Sharp on his Nightcap podcast.
Healthy.
I know.
Healthy.
6 million people watched the incident unfold. Also, I saw it was on Twitter. It was like everyone on Black Twitter was talking about it. Everyone had fun laughing about the situation online, and a lot of people called it staged. Shannon Sharp is 56, so a lot of people said that this was just an ad for dick pills, like for like erectile dysfunction stuff. And people were like teasing him, but loads of celebrity men came to Shannon Sharp's defense, like Rick Ross, like Chad Ochocinco, yeah. Stephen A. Smith, who is also a sports analyst, very memeable guy too. He said, you know, on Friday, because I guess Shannon Sharp was worried that he was going to lose his job and get fired and stuff. And Stephen A. Smith, his co-worker, kind of boss, he's like, he didn't do anything wrong. Mistakes happen. Accidents happen. It's just that simple. They work on First Take and they're personal friends. So, yeah, like, of course he's going to defend Shannon Sharp. Smith has seen Sharp firsthand and knows that Sharp has a team of people who manage his social media presence, which leads Smith to believe that Sharp, when he says that he doesn't know how to access Instagram Live in the first, like, he doesn't know how to do shit.
I would believe that.
Yeah.
I don't think live. I know how to go to Instagram Live. TikTok Live, let's go. But, Instagram Live, like, I've accidentally called people on Instagram,
that
too.
That is my nightmare, is that I've accidentally called people on Instagram. And I will also, like, accidentally activate vanish mode. Like, it is easier on Instagram to accidentally access things.
So I could see myself accidentally going live because I don't actually know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Stephen A. Smith says, when that brother says he didn't know he was on IG Live, he didn't know, because there's very little he knows about social media.
That's me talking about my dad.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't get grasshole for fucking on IG.
No, you don't.
He's grasshole because a few days later, the Nightcap podcast is selling merch from the IG incident.
No.
So to capitalize on his recent IG live incident, Shannon Sharp released merch inspired by the mysterious Michelle
of
the
internet.
Not Michelle.
In the post announcing the release of the shirt, the shirts say, "That's my Michelle."
No. Leave Michelle out of it. If it was just focused on him.
No, he's got
Michelle by name. That's not right.
My Michelle. That's the quote, and it's on. And you can buy the t-shirts for $32. And Sharp wrote, "That's my Michelle shirts dropped, Iroh. I told y'all to leave that lady alone, but y'all kept harassing Unk, like him, knowing that man ain't got one but one good nerve. Thanks to Chad. So here we are. Are you happy now?" Like, I guess he's just basically like, "You guys forced me to sell these shirts."
You don't get to put that attitude and be like, "So I guess because you guys have been harassing Michelle, I will release a t-shirt and make money off of her because you guys made me." No.
One of them is like kind of like a NASCAR themed shirt. This one's 69 Michelle.
Oh, it's sold out. It says 69. No.
69 Michelle. It's sold out. It sold out completely.
To be fair, though, I always am like, how many of these are we actually ordering? Like, the Emily Mariko tote bag never came back in stock, so.
Yeah, well, they probably made 100
drop
of
shippers,
those.
Right?
Drop
exactly.
Shippers.
There's like a
limited run.
But I just, you know what's funny is that the standard that women have been held to with, you know, sex tapes that have come out, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian, et cetera, is so different than what he was even being held to initially. And I actually think it could have been an opportunity to be like, "Listen, I did something. It was inappropriate. It will never happen again." Yeah. And then you don't say anything. And for a guy like him in that world, that problem will go on away on its own. It doesn't sound like
he was cheating on someone. Yeah. No,
like he wasn't cheating on someone. Nope. Like, I mean, I don't want to hear you have sex, but it is not unforgivable to me.
Yeah, I mean, so, it seems like a very unfortunate accident. Right. I do believe he went. I think he went accidentally.
But I'm like, you're selling merch? I'm like, is it an accident? Like, how easy is it for you to go live on Instagram?
I guess. I don't know. I do believe that it could be an accident. And then the person's like, someone's like, "Well, you got to sell merch if you're going viral and whatever." Like, and yeah, as a man, it's a different experience because even with the people that you, like the sex tapes you talked about, those were like released against the will
of
the woman. Whereas this one is like, he just fucked up and went live, which doesn't seem crazy to me to do that and then be like, "Well, I went viral, so I guess I'm selling merch," just like anyone goes who goes viral. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
This is how you know he doesn't have a woman on his team.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what it has to be because I think like a guy would be like, "We got to capitalize on this. We got to keep the energy moving, got to keep the momentum going." And a woman would be like, "Why don't we just
pause?" Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, even though he doesn't know how to work social media, Shannon Sharp, go touch some grass. And I'm going to say this, if you bought the t-shirt,
go touch grass. Absolutely.
If you want to buy a t-shirt that says, "That's my Michelle," Go touch grass.
Yeah, that's, why would you? Also, it's like, no one's going to know what that is. And then suddenly people are going to say, "What is this shirt?" And then you explain it and people are like, "What?" Like,
so I will say that the reason I found out about this is because a lot of people, I just saw like people retweeting like, "That's my Michelle" with tomato emojis and like, "Boo, like this is corny," whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I had to do all the back end research of like, so he is getting kind of dragged for it, but I'm just like, it's tacky, it's lame. If he was a woman, he probably would have lost his whole fucking livelihood and been called a whore.
If a female sportscaster accidentally went live having sex, she would, number one, like her job would be in very serious jeopardy. And she definitely would not be able to sell merch based off of catchphrases from the sex
tape. The sex thing, that's
maybe
weird.
That's the world I want to live in, though.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe the equality.
I don't know if we need, catchphrase merches already, because it's already going to the dump. Like, in 10 years, that's a thing where it's like,
I know.
Whatever.
It's like my Countess Luann shirt that I had made for me on Etsy. I'm like, I don't think I need this anymore.
Yeah. Well, That's it. That's our grass
hole. That's our episode.
That's our episode.
Meredith,
where can the people find you?
You can find me yelling into the void on TikTok and Instagram, Meredith M. Lynch, or on my podcast, Oddly Specific.
Wonderful. Nice. And you were such a great guest. It was so great to
have
you.
Thank you for having me.
Amazing. Literally a delight. Guys, you can find me at Pandalise on Instagram, at Elise Navidad on TikTok, and this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything.
And you can find me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and TikTok, and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter. And check out our Patreon. We recapped the debate in memes.
Yes, we did.
We talked about that. So, yeah, we're so excited. We love Meredith. Thank you so much for being here. Any enemy of Meredith is an enemy of mine. Yeah,
so that's you're on notice, public equity.
Private equity. On notice.
And until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.